It's all about rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Well, boys, before we go a step further, we weren't supposed to go to adverts straight away. So for our best show of the year, I think we all need to put our hands together and give our new studio technician, Jakey the Master, a round of applause because he pushed the wrong button twice. That's all it takes, Jakey. Just got to push the wrong button twice, like talking to my missus. If I push the wrong button too many times, I get an uppercut.
No, I don't even have to talk. I don't even have to talk. Press the wrong
button.
Leon
just has to look at the button.
We just have to be in the same room when that's it. And just like go away from each other.
The sense
before
the
something
button.
Something erupts.
Knick-knack comes.
Before we get into it, what Jakey was actually trying to do, he knows that Robbo's running a little bit behind time at this the moment. Full stop in life. So he was just trying to let Robbo have a little bit of an opportunity to get into the show. Good thinking, but Robbo's still not here. Anyway, before we get into what Stuart's doing, what Leon's doing during preseason, and when give Robbo a little bit more time to catch up, one of the Bradford Bulls under 16 scholarship players, not under 16, but one of the Bulls scholarship players, Regan Tolson, was in a car accident on Friday evening, just gone, not in a car accident. He was outside the car. He was walking across the road, apparently, and he was hit by a car, and ended up in intensive care. We're lucky enough to have Callum Tolson, his older brother, who's a Leeds Rhino Youth Development Officer, with us on the phone. Callum, are you there?
Yes, mate. How are you doing?
I apologise, Callum, for the long wait. You've been sitting there, but you can blame Jakey as well.
No worries.
Mate, can you just tell us a little bit about your brother, what happened and how he's doing?
Yeah, just a really unfortunate accident, a case of where he's just mistimed his crossing on the Driglington bypass, which just, again, unfortunately, is a 60-mile-per-hour road. Quarter past six in the evening, so fairly dark, and he's been hit at a car that hasn't had chance to brake, so he's taken a 60 mile an hour impact.
Wow. And how's he doing, mate?
It's an absolute miracle to be where he's at the moment. He's responding to us, he's talking now, he's eating. His body's gone through a lot of stress while he's been in intensive care. But it's today, actually, that we've been given the news by a vascular surgeon that he expects him to be able to compete in contact sport within 6 months. So an absolute miracle.
That is an absolute miracle. It's a testament to the good stuff that your mum and dad were made of, because obviously that mix came together and made a tough kid out of him. Is he a tough kid?
Yeah. He's the toughest, to be honest. He's gone through a lot for a 15-year-old lad. He was diagnosed with glaucoma, which threatened to turn him blind when he was 11. He's suffered two double arm fractures this year alone, and now he's just gone through all this impact, and he's going to walk away. But not only walk away, he's going to live to play rugby league again, which means the absolute world to him and obviously all our family.
What an amazing story. It must have been extremely stressful for the family also.
100%. You know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody to witness what myself and the family did Friday night to see my little brother laid half dead in the middle of the road. You know, it was treated as a fatality there and then. And we didn't know whether it were going to pull through till later that evening. But We've had lots of support, lots of messages, and it's just been absolutely overwhelming. And it's that level of support from the Rugby League family, as it's branded, that's pulled us through and made the days go by a lot quicker.
It is good. It is comforting to know that you've got people around you that'll reach out for you. Isn't it been wonderful how much the rugby league community have come out for your brother?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and whether it's a top-end athlete that plays professional in the NRL, whether it's a family member or whether it's a total stranger within the community game, every message that we've received has been valued equally. And it's the messages that Regan will be able to read once he's finally come around that will make his time in here that little bit easier, because he's expected to be bedbound for quite a while until he can get back on his feet, which I think he'll progress to wheelchair care. But eventually he'll be able to take the field in 2017, and I know that the messages of support from everyone will mean the absolute world for him and help him along with his recovery.
Well, that is an incredibly amazing story, Callum, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us this evening. I'm sure I speak on behalf of the entire crew here in the studio and as well as the rugby league community. We wish Regan all the best in his recovery. Fantastic to find out that he's going to get back on the pitch and do the thing that he loves the most. Thank you very much, Callum.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
And pass
thank
on you. Our best wishes to your family as well.
I will do. Thanks, Robbie.
Thanks for being with us. Take care. Wow. What can you say about that, boys? At 60 mile an hour as well.
Well, to be honest with you, just the fact that he survived is a blessing and a miracle, really. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not important that he gets back on the field. And obviously, it's nice for a young boy to have that in the future, you know. But for us, I mean, just to survive a 60 mile an hour crash impact by a car is a miracle to still be alive and to have your health and to wake up and see your family. So such a lucky boy, and so happy for that he's making a good recovery so far.
We are all parents here.
I can't think about worse. Oh, I can't think about worse.
It makes you quiver on the inside, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Every parent's worst nightmare, isn't it? Mm. It has to be.
Absolutely incredible. Okay. But, you know, testament though, part of the, I mean, he's a young man that works out, trains a lot, in physical peak condition. You know, in reality, being a professional rugby player or being, you know, on that pathway to professional rugby could be part of the reason why he's survived as well as he has.
Well, not just that alone. If you listen to the story that was told, obviously, you know, he's had a lot of adversity in his life.
Yeah.
Now that has clearly made him a lot tougher, hasn't it? And that must be part of that. Certainly the mental side must have, because the positive things he's been putting out there in the social media and things, you know, that takes a lot to do.
Tough kid. I got to take my hat off him. So once again, on behalf of Leon Stewart and Robbo, who's just turned up, Robbo's just here and he's panting as well. We want to wish Regan Tolson all the best in his recovery and I hope he gets well soon. We'll see him back down performing for the Bradford Bulls in the near future. Absolutely fantastic. And keep his at tag for Twitter is at RL Tolson. So if anyone wants to send him a message, please just jump on that and send him a get well message. Robbo! Good to see you, pal.
Yeah, good to see you.
What's going down? You said that you popped in to get some petrol and then they kidnapped you.
I just thought I'd nip in, you know, my way you fill up and then all of a sudden my card wasn't working, so.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the wife's had it or what.
And were you standing talking to the guy at the kiosk saying, mate, I've got to get to the Robbie Hunter Pool show?
Literally, I've said, I've got to go at some point. He's looking at me like I'm trying to dodge it. And then he's like, I think he was like, what are you going to leave? I thought, I'm not leaving my phone. So, luckily.
So you left one of your kids.
I wish I could.
What's the law on the age on serving petrol to minors? 16.
Do you know what? I love the fact that you think I look boyish good looks. So what are you saying, Stu? Cheers, mate.
I couldn't see you over the counter.
But no, luckily I managed to get away. So yeah, sorry I'm late.
No, you don't have to apologise, mate. Jakey crashed the system anyway. We're an extra 5 minutes. We're going for a like 20-minute talk at this point in time.
Jake said I had an absolute complete shocker.
He ran all the adverts throughout the whole show back to back at the beginning of the show. We've only just been on 1 minute. What are we talking about? Stu, mate, well, it's awesome to have you here for the last show of the year.
Thank you.
You've got your full branded Field and Fitness T-shirt on. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get into a personal, you need a personal trainer that'll probably rip your head off, go and see stuartfielding.com. Is that it?
It is, yeah.
stuartfielding.com, and you get all the information. And but you've got a little bit of a, part of the reason why you're here, you've got a bit of an activity that you got coming up, where you're trying to get coming up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Here comes a shameless plug, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, mate, the way radio works is you got to speak into the microphone.
I can't when Robbo's hogging it, can I?
Chewing on it.
No, it was the conversation sort of we had, wasn't it? And that was, and it's something that a lot of people seem to have interest in, and that is a boxing match between me, myself, and Willie Mason.
Okay. So let's just stop right there, because you guys have already had a boxing match.
I've got a boxing match.
It was in the middle of a test series. You didn't come off too well.
I didn't.
Well, we spoke about this on the show last time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm salivating at the thought of you two getting in the ring and actually you get an opportunity to square up with him this time in a fight, which you'll expect a punch to be thrown as opposed to what happened on that day where you're 5 minutes into a test match and this punch come out of nowhere.
And sleep.
And sleep.
chew on both. Chew on both.
Yeah. We don't lie on this show, mate.
No, that's fine. Couple of points with that. I mean, one,
here comes the defense, Leon. Here comes the defense.
I'll play No.
Leon didn't come running.
Did I?
Of course he did.
He was sat on the sideline.
I was shouting. Go on, boys. Go on, lads.
Get him. I'm saying, conversely, from all that, and it's still one of the best games I've been involved in. And that, so if you said to someone, by the way, you're going to get knocked out in the third minute, there you go. You're not probably going to think that's going to be one of the best games at ranks in their career of, you know, so many games. But that does. You know, I got up and played the rest of the test, but that's not the main point. The main point is that Great Britain won in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's one of the highlights.
That was memorable.
Strangely, that's one of the highlights of my career.
Joint highlights.
But Stu, knowing you like I do and knowing you for as long as I've done, I know this probably will have tormented you for a lot of years because for the amazing career that you've had, which were, you know, you've been one of the best forwards at world at one point, and when you went down there in 2006, you was put in the press as the best forward on the planet, and that's why they came for you. So to have to deal with having a bit of, not a sucker punch, but you know, to being getting the punch that you did and dealing with it, is it, you know, somebody looking for that just to get the aggression out, the anger inside you?
Wait a minute, let's take into account, what year was that, 2006. Okay, that's 10 years of pent-up fielding aggression.
And bear in mind, this is the most manly of men blokes, that's the most dominating of men you'll ever meet, physically.
This is the type of man that you measure other men against.
Alpha female.
Apart from the time he came out in Mad Money with a skirt on. That's the only time I've seen him.
Was it a skirt or was it? You explained it before as a Trojan, a Spartan warrior wear, because he'd come to your aid.
Literally did come to my aid as well.
He came to your aid. You were dressed up as an Oompa Loompa, and you needed the king of Sparta to come and get you out of a bit of trouble.
He pretty much did as well. He came bounding down with his sandals on, sword at side of his skirt, and literally just rounded them all up and took to a corner.
But how cool would that be though? No, not Stuart. Pull the mic away from Stuart. How cool would it be to see Stu and Willie Mason get in the ring? I'm sure rugby league supporters out there, we want to know,
is this on?
I was just about to say that. As big Willie or little Willie,
I think we can make this get on by putting the pressure on Big Willie.
Have your team offered it? Have your solicitors and what have you offered it?
Yeah.
Your promoters, Eddie.
It's been proposed. Proposed back in September.
So what we need to do, we're going to sample this.
That's why I'm here.
Come on, Willie.
Get him told then. Tell him now then, Stu.
The main reason, as you know, Robbie, was coming on this show, was apart from seeing you, obviously.
Obviously. Come and share the love.
Was to try and get this, put a little bit of pressure on and try and get this on. Because it's something I would absolutely love to do, but protect me out of it. And anyone we've spoken to, any of the team spoken to, has been up. That's what we want to see. Let's get it on.
Over here or in Australia?
He'd be over here.
Over here.
Has he got a team?
I'm not allowed to leave Yorkshire.
No,
he's not got a team.
As far as I'm aware, he's. He left Catalan with an ankle injury.
Well, Stu, to be honest with you, I could do a bit of promoting. I can see what we can go.
Life after rugby.
Stu's saying, as I'm aware, he's been stalking him. He knows where he is. He knows what room he's in right now.
Now.
He's got somebody just staring at the window. A paper, two holes, some sunglasses on. Somebody sat outside his house.
I want to see it.
But on a serious point, to regress...
None of this is serious.
No, you're right. The people we've spoken to, so apart from our opinions, everyone seems to want to see it.
Okay, supporters. So all the supporters listening today, tag Willie Mason and tag Fielding and let's get this on. It's got to happen. It's got to happen before Christmas
let's get
as well.
It'll be next spring.
Next spring. And we're big. Leon's going to promote it.
Yeah, I'll promote it. I could promote that easier.
Don King.
Yeah, Don King.
I think it should be a best of three. Take it on the road. A fight in Hull.
I've got the tash.
A fight in West Yorkshire and a fight down in Lancashire. The full rugby league community would want to see it. So a best of three.
Definitely.
They do have cars in Lancashire, do they?
Camels.
They can travel.
Camels. All right. What else were we going to talk about? Robbo, how are the Giants looking pre-season? You've been obviously coaching. How are the boys looking? Sharper than last year?
Yeah, we'll look all right. Obviously, it's pretty difficult because obviously Rick Stone's trying to stamp his authority on it, and his style of rugby, really, but it's probably made it a little bit harder because we have that many in rehab. We've got a team of about 13 that are injured at the moment.
Seriously?
And a fair few have been on international duty, so we're the sort of vast majority of us, of the bulk of our squad that we're training at the moment are kind of young lads, really, which is nice because you get a little bit more one-on-one time with them in small groups, and it allows you to put a bit of work in them. But on the flip side of that, we've not been doing too much sort of team structure and probably things that you'd like to be putting in place this moment in time, just due to injuries. But as you know, Rob, you know, when you play within professional sport, sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes you just have a spate of injuries all at once.
That's not the pre-season. That's not the approach that you guys wanted, not after last season.
No, Zach. We'd have preferred to have a full, fit, healthy squad. And if you listen to Rick's quotes in the press, he'd probably like to have a little bit more of an influence on the squad that he has. You know, he's kind of been put into his lap. And as I've said numerous times on this show, that as a coach, you bring players in that fit your style of game, your style of rugby, and you know, he's not really had that opportunity to bring in the players that he wanted yet. I think he's still trying his damnedest to sort of tinker with the squad and bring in certain players in key positions. But yeah, you know, fingers crossed that we as a coaching staff can. We can just probably get the best out of us players and get that extra sort of 20% out of each individual.
You guys announced Dale Ferguson joining the squad once again. How's that, you know, how's he fitting in?
Yeah, we've got three ex Bradford lads. You know, we've got Cluffy, Ferguson.
But Dale was originally an ex Giant.
Yeah, you know, he's been at the. Obviously, he's been around the
bunch. Rounds, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And the boys actually, you know, the fair few of the boys still know him. So it's kind of. It makes that transition a little bit easier when he knows the lads. You know, I think last Mad Monday, we were with Stu, what we were just speaking about. And I think I tortured Fergie for about 10 hours of that. So I don't know if that was the reason he left originally. But no, it's made his transition a little bit easier. And do you know what? He played some pretty good footy field. So we've got some good memories. Hopefully he can carry that on this next year.
All right. Now, Leon, 35 years of age. Been there, done that, got all the trophies, got all the medals, got everything. How do you motivate, as a coach, how do you motivate someone of his standard to come in and continue on? Because, like, Leon started playing when he was 13, so he's had well over 20 pre-seasons.
This is number 20.
This is his 20th pre-season, so he started playing when he was 16.
Do you know what? I'd probably go down the route of having a little quiet word in his ear and letting him know that this is how brutal sport is, that for all your achievements, a lot of times people only remember you for your last few years. And it's cruel, but you can
do
be...
Do you think you
can be
Leon,
amazing.
Would that bring the best out of you?
No.
That approach?
No. My response
being... But you can be...
I don't care. If you have, look at my trophy cabinet, would be my response. And please get out my face.
Chrissy, because obviously he's got a height advantage on you as well, Robbo, so he'd be looking down at you, saying this back to
be fair, there's not many people that I will have a height advantage on them, will they? Really? Let's be fair.
2 year old. and little
Robbie.
And Leon loves the preseason.
Yeah.
The person I know the least likes the preseason is you.
You know it's
all
true.
Right. All right, boys, we're going to actually go to a break this time. Jakey's all ready to go to a break. When we come back, we said this show will be all about the supporters, so we're answering your question that you sent across to us on Twitter. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, ladies and gentlemen. In the studio, we've got Luke Robinson, Stuart Fielden, and Leon Price. We've got a ongoing
Twitter poll
at the moment. So, who will win the charity boxing match between Stuart Fielden and Willie Mason? And Jakey, what's the
Percentages.
What's
Please
going on at the moment?
He's got mad next to me.
5% think Stuart Fielden will win it. 50% think Willie Mason.
Stu is taking everyone's details down who are voting against
him. Can we get on there? Who would like to actually see it?
Hey, no. This is a better one to find out who will win. Willie Mason has got height and reach on you. I know you're just pure power fielding. Well, fitness
Mike Tyson
power.
Was short, wasn't it?
True. Robbo. Robbo, yeah. get in there and dust yous both.
Have you seen how many times I've been knocked out? The record once a boxer gets knocked out, what's good that season?
Robbo's got chin of Amir Khan.
Literally, I'm.
Hey, we say we talk nothing but rugby league on here. Anyway, okay, so we said that this show was all about the supporters. So what we're going to do here is I've cut and pasted quite a few of the questions that have been asked. All pretty responsible questions. So the first one, this comes from Dan Wagstaff. Do Sky have a responsibility to put money into the championship, which would be a tiny way? That's all I got from that. Actually, Sky do put money into the championship. That comes from central distribution funding. And they're now getting more, the championship clubs are now getting more money than they've ever had over the past 2 years. And that's due to the new TV deals.
But it isn't just Sky, is it? It's when I've looked into this, Super League clubs have a big say in where that money goes, don't they? And there's some Super League chairmen, I'm not going to name which ones, but I know which ones, they don't want money distributed to the championship clubs. No. They think that because they're the ones on Sky that it should solely go to those. So it ain't just a rugby league thing. This is
It's not every chairman.
No, it's not.
It's not every chairman, but some of them are very protective of their little circle. And I think that's a bit of a hangover from the license days because, you know, there was a good 10 years where no one could be touched in the Super League echelons. And now that it's gone back to a new model of promotion and relegation, they've had to continue to readjust how much monies will be going to different clubs. So there's a big there's a big separation between those teams that made the top four in the championship. So I think if a club wins, becomes top of the pile in the championship, they'll get £800,000 from central distribution funding. Now, last year, in 2016, it was circa £700,000. I think it goes to £800,000 for the end of 2017. But in comparison to the Super League clubs, though, I think get around about just short of $2 million. So you have to try and make it work because the reality is you've got to compete against Super League clubs now to get into to eat and drink at the top table. But just for Dan, just to let you know, Dan, money is going into from central distribution funding, but it's not just TV monies. Obviously, it's coming from sponsors, Ladbrokes Challenge Cup, First Utility. The sponsorship money that's paid for those sort of things also goes into the pot, and it's all distributed as all the stakeholders of the sport deem fit. You're right, Robbo. Obviously, the governing body have a strong say in this, but not only that, the Super League clubs are very, very influential in that as well. Not everybody has an even balanced say in regards to where the money. But a counter argument to that is the Super League is where the most attractive rugby is played. So that what gets the interest in television viewers, which gets the interest in the money, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the way that works. Anyone else got any 5 cents on that? I just sort of threw that one in.
5 cents.
Okay, here's one actually, one a little bit closer to home. This is from Ed Marshall. Would love to hear fans' views on moving away from Odsell and ground sharing with City, as it's a modern stadium and it could potentially be a great new start. So I want us to discuss that first and foremost. I know Ewan's got thoughts on that as well because he's a football supporter. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've got thoughts on that, but this is something I found out recently, that the Bulls had the chance to actually buy City. Around the time they did the ground share and obviously redeveloped Odsell, they had, just before that, the chance to buy Valley Parade.
They're
and obviously,
right.
Then make it would have been the home of the Bulls. I know, that was quite. I found that a bit of quite shocking for me. I thought it would have been a good,
Leon,
good investment.
You're a Bradford lad.
Yes.
You've been going to both Bradford City all your life and Providence Stadium, Odsell.
Odsell.
You know, what are your thoughts on it Bradford sports supporter?
Right, I think basically with the state that we're in at the moment, the Bradford Bulls, I think anything that can keep us financially strong and secure, keep us in Super League, keep us up as head above water, then whatever. If that's moving to Valparaiso, then we do that. I've got no problem with that. As long as there's a breath of Bulls that's alive and kicking and trying to compete with the rest of the teams, I've got no problem where we are. You know, obviously that'd be nice if we get a big investor and he'd likes to come in and develop Oddsall and, you know, all the things that we've heard for the last 20 years. We're developing a Superdome and nothing's ever materialised. So for me, if the best thing we're moving to Valparaiso, get to Valparaiso, no problem.
But where would you prefer? Would you prefer,
would prefer?
To have I'm not bothered, the Providence Stadium developed?
I'm not bothered. Of course you would, yeah, because it's our home and Bradford City is their home. That's football and rugby. But if it meant for the two teams, the best outcome would be all to share a stadium financially and for the future of the clubs. No problem.
Yeah, you two Halifax lads, Halifax Town, Halifax Rugby League, they share the stadium. Do you think that works for the town of Halifax?
I know there's always going to be rivalry. You know, the same's going on at Huddersfield, you know, where obviously Halifax lads, and whenever there's football and rugby, there always just seems a mad rivalry. I honestly don't understand it, because I just think I want the best for the town. I want Halifax Town to do well. I want Halifax Rugby to do well, and being Halifax boy. And now, obviously, I'm over at Huddersfield. I want them to both do well. I just think it's good for the town. It's good for the people. It generates money and jobs. But yeah, there just seems a bit of a rivalry. So, even when you walk in the office at Huddersfield, I walk into that office, you'll know, Rob. And
I don't know what you're talking about,
they're whispering because they don't other ones to either ideas or they don't share.
Right. The reality is that you're both biting. You look at it like this. There's a, you know, what you have, you spend your leisure money on. You spend your leisure money on going to sports, going to the movies. And if you're two competing sports that perform at the same time, you're competing for that leisure pound. So, and especially in the sports industry, there's only a few narratives that you can tell. So I've seen it. I've seen it personally where we're spoken openly about something and the other sports actually used it to market their stuff with. So I've seen how it can be quite disastrous.
Well, they've actually tried this year at Huddersfield. They've said, if you buy a season ticket, we will donate some of the money you give us to the Huddersfield Town Foundation, if you're a Huddersfield Town fan. So they're actually trying, to cross over. I don't think it's working, but they're actually trying, they're delving into that and they are actually trying it. But yeah, for me, I'm really on it. You know, your home's your home. Thrumall were Halifax's home and there's a real affinity to it, but whatever is financially best for the club is going to, you know, and it's going to help that club succeed, and that's where you need to play.
Well, I think one of the problems that you've got here in this dynamic is that you're not talking about two separate clubs. I think it potentially can work if it's a single entity. It's one club. Club Doncaster, their foundation, their football club, their rugby club is all under the one umbrella. They all perform
Wigan Athletic and Wigan Rugby Warriors are there.
No, they're separate.
But they play at the same stadium.
Play at the same stadium, but they're different companies.
All FC.
And again, separate companies.
Well, they play there, don't they?
They play there. So it's good for the stadium, i.e. like John Smith Stadium at Huddersfield. It's good for the stadium because they get to sell the kiosk rights to all the you know, the food areas, and they get people up in the hospitality over the course of the week. So a lot of trade for the stadium. But the stadium, like at the John Smith Stadium, that's a separate company as well. You've got the run by the council, which is a John Smith Stadium company. Then you've got the Huddersfield Town in there, and then you've got the Huddersfield Giants. And that's where I think, because everyone's biting out of the same leisure pound, and I think that's where it causes the problem.
It's nuts. We put up some photos of us before we run out, and as soon as they're down, Huddersfield Town lot are running down, ripping the photos down. Yeah. It's like they just hate to have anything up, and vice versa. And that's just how it is. It's ludicrous.
But it's the same. And Leon touched it there when I first went to Wigan. It was just, and I couldn't get it from being like you said there, Robbo, being from Halifax. I want Halifax to achieve. I don't care if it's at ping pong. I want the football to achieve. I want the rugby to achieve. And yeah, I just always assumed it'd be the same. But when I first went to Wigan, I just couldn't get. But you're talking quite strong emotion about the fans really, really disliking each other, massively. You've seen the same at Huddersfield, and I've never really computed it. I can't really understand why. Business is something different. You are competing against each other. We'll get that.
But
the emotion behind it of saying, I want Halifax, you know, rugby league to lose, you're from Halifax and you support the football, all right, yeah, but you don't want them to lose.
But
like
I mean, I think that comes back into the workplace, comes back into you where you go to school and you know how you're cultured and you're brought up there, because it's tribal. Sport is tribal. This town, this country is tribal. It's how you identify who you are as a person. I identify going up to the Providence Stadium, Odso, and spending time with my family, or I identify, you know, going to Bradford City with my mates. And, you know, wanting to have something very, very different in that respect. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, well, anyway, we've come to that point in the show where we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll be carrying on with your questions. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. In this final segment, just before we take a break for Christmas, boys, we're talking about supporters' questions here. One question, I think was the first question, said, get Leon to name as many beaches that he can in the UK that are better than Bondi.
Stuart,
Fielding's just breaking it.
Whitby, Scarborough.
Whitby, Scarborough.
Newquay.
Newquay.
Blackpool.
Blackpool.
Northumberland.
That's like a county, isn't it?
Any more, Stu?
You have a name of beach Bamber. There.
Where?
Bamborough Castle.
Bamborough Castle. Castle. Right on the beach. There you go, Bridlington.
Dan.
Bridlington. Do you want any more? Is there anybody on any more? I'd take every single one of them over, Bondi. I'm telling you now, if you're listening in Australia, I'd take every single one of them over you, Aussie lot. Miles better.
See, yeah, jokingly, there's not much going on there, is there?
No.
Do you know, like, you rock up in Magaluf.
Flies.
Beach,
there's flies
everywhere. Everybody's partying.
Flies. All I could see were flies everywhere. Loads of people going around, good day, mate.
And Kiwis. Flies and Kiwis, as far as I can see. Bondi is a magnet for New Zealanders.
Bondi, whatever. I don't even want to talk about Bondi again. We're in England. Let's talk about us. Come on.
Well, you have to tell us why. What's so great about it? What? Your coach actually got into the conversation as well. And he said, I said, look, we get Leon to name five British beaches that are better than Bondi.
I've just named
them. And why they're better, which you've just sort of alluded to.
Because we're in England.
We're in England and we're from England. And he said that'll take only 6 seconds.
Cheeky boy.
And you know what Leon did? He tweeted him back with just the laughing signal. Like
I didn't. I put 6 minutes.
It was disgraceful.
No, I didn't. I put 6 minutes on it.
Yuck.
Don't lie. Don't lie.
Yuck.
None of this.
Don't lie.
Oh, wait a minute.
The company this morning give each other a high five.
Well, to be honest, he has got, whether or not, you know, you could have had a dig at him and then got flogged all day today.
I'm too old and sensible for that now,
Robert. Don't poke the bear.
No,
right?
Leave him asleep.
Don't poke the bear. All right. Mike at Dyson 2810. He wanted to know, would it be nice to hear if you think any championship side can do what Lee did last year and compete for Super League. Obviously, Leon, you're playing in the championship next year, and that's your ultimate goal in the end.
Yep.
But we'll leave you till last. Come on, Robert.
I think potentially, obviously, looking at Hull KR, you know, they've...
Great, that's our first game.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, I think it'll be a big test for you, because they've made some... really good signs. But not only that, they've retained a lot of players. You know, the likes of Sean Munt, you know, Jamie Ellis, who's been a pretty decent Super League player over his time. And yeah, the players they've managed to retain, they've sort of shown a will to get straight back up. I think they've set down a bit of a marker that they don't want to be languishing in the championship for long. They want to come straight back up. And do you know what? I think it's going to be extremely tough in that middle eight again, or super eight.
There is a weird dynamic that comes into it, and Robbo, you experienced it, and Leon, we saw him experiencing it. And that was pressure.
We did the first couple of weeks, yeah. Bad.
Yeah, and that was until they were safe.
That proper negative on really
pulling
negative.
His hair out. Yeah,
well. Until I picked that team.
He was nearly in tears, wasn't he?
You were nearly as negative as I am usually. And I thought, wow, that is negative.
my head had gone, I'll be honest. My head had absolutely gone. All I wanted to do was get on that field. It's my first experience as well of being a coach. And actually just sat there watching going, they're dropping ball. They're missing tackles. What's wrong with them? Because obviously when you're upfield, it's you can have an influence. And it's probably the first time ever I turned into my mum and dad or the coach where you just sat watching. And once the game kicks off, you can have a slight influence. But really, It's on them.
Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. All of us played at a very high level. Did the coaches or the assistants have any influence on us on the day of a game?
No, I think once the game had kicked off, you have a slight influence, but I think it might have been Tony Smith that said, your
game
work,
plan stays the same.
Your work's done
with them.
Them
running
the
on and saying, stop dropping the ball.
Can I tell you this story? Can I tell you a story?
Get the worst player off. Nobby did that a couple of
times.
When
I went to Hull, my first year at Hull, Radders were doing captain's run.
Yeah.
Usually it's on a pause, isn't it?
Yeah.
Radders are doing it. We're doing full on tackle against each other. Day before we played Leeds. So I got whacked on my shin. Did an issy fit and walked off. Like, can see the reds thinking, what's up with him? Who's he think he is? What's he doing? I'm thinking, you can't, you get what we're doing, boys. We've been training all week. We've got a game tomorrow. Why are we trying to tackle each other? Anyway, we played next day. Scored 2 tries, played all right. So they're like, oh, yeah, you're okay, Price.
Oh, whatever. He was not saying. 5 Super League rings.
No.
15 Challenge Cup finals.
Do you have to tackle day before a game, please?
Well, I'll go back to my England 2010 days when Stuart Fielding and Darrell Griffin played on the same team.
Smashing each other.
Start going slightly aggressive against each other in charge the day before.
Tell the truth.
Next minute they're nearly having a scrap and I'm just stood in the middle of them both thinking, oh my God, how am I going to stop this here? The day before we played New Zealand, them two are fighting nearly. Two or not, Stu?
Two donkeys.
I'd say that's an exaggeration. And he wasn't selected either. he was just opposition in captain's run.
But were you not squaring up with one another?
We were taking it seriously, is all I'll say.
So going back to the point at hand, the reality is you got a bunch of teams, 4 teams that come into that Super 8 qualifiers. They come into it buzzing. They're so happy to be there, to get the opportunity. You've got 4 teams that are coming in dragging their knuckles. They're thinking, what are we doing here? We're falling apart. We've got injuries. Our confidence is gone. We don't believe in the coach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for whatever reason. And their mind's just not in the right place. Leon?
I just think it's really, really, really simple. There's only one reason why league got up last year. That's because they had a Super League-based team. Their players, they were ex-internationals, Willie Tonga, Carrie Patterson.
Fui Fui,
my. Go through it. That team is a Super League team. This is not football where you can get a good manager who can get some decent players and get some good scalps like FA Cup. Usually, the best team wins. Unless the championship team has somebody to invest a lot of money with Super League and ex-international players, then it's going to be very, very difficult. The cream always rises to the top and the big boys always win. That's what happens.
You know what I thought was key as well? Because the Bradford Bulls in 2015 went into their million-pound game against Wakefield, and Wakefield had a lot of things going against them. Their confidence was at an all-time low. They had lost Tim Smith and Locke for getting up to mischief. So they'd been kicked out of the squad and they were two influential players. But one thing I noticed with the Bradford Bulls players were at that time, there were a lot of young players. And you know that experience and being under that sort of psychological pressure, what that game actually meant to them as individuals, to the club, to the city of Bradford and all of those supporters that had turned out to watch them. For me, I thought it crippled a couple of them. Whereas, well, Leon's just pointing out, we identified 6 or 7 or 8 players that actually had international experience, players that were mature, back into their careers and weren't fazed by that competition. They weren't fazed by going into it.
The big thing for me as well is that even though they were getting pumped all year at Wakefield, they were used to playing at that intensity. Yeah. They were used to playing against Wigan, Hull, even the Castleford's. When you go there and it's the stadium's jam-packed, they're on you, it's a free-flowing fast game, whereas when you're not used to playing at that pace week in, week out, it's hard then to step it up.
And especially when you go from 1 week at maybe, let's say, Dewsbury with 500 people.
Yeah, but
1 week, you know, he's right, and 1 week at Batley.
But in that, I think he's Lee right. Lee didn't have that competition week in, week out, but their players
are used to playing in that, and they have done for 15 years. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
When you look at that, I think OKR have got a really good chance this year. I think just
they've kept the nucleus of their talent together.
They've kept the nucleus of their team. They've added some really the acquisitions that they've got.
Okay,
are going to really.
I think they reworded all their contracts as well.
Who are they going to replace them, Robbo? That's my question as well.
I don't know. Well, to be fair, last year, you know, we came bottom and Leeds were second to bottom. So you, at this moment in time, I wouldn't like to say.
Well, you just said that all of your players are all busted. You're not going to have a pre-season. Are you throwing yourselves under the bus, Robert?
No, I'm saying no. I know I'm part of that coaching staff, man. Don't you worry about us.
We got this, mate.
You can't say it, really. I get that, Rob, because you're coaching and all the rest. Robbie, what's your thought?
Who
would you favour? If you were a betting man right now, okay, who would you say, who would you put the money on?
Going down.
Mm. Yeah. And that's betting. I mean, it won't probably come true.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yes.
You know what? I think it'd be very interesting to see how Catalans shape up this year.
I'm not saying that they're going to go, but it's a big call to see how they shape up this year because they're missing a lot of talent that they've had over the last couple of years. That's a big call for rugby league. I don't think it's a big call for rugby league. That would hurt rugby league dramatically.
You know, Toulouse is climbing up as well. So you've got three full-time teams working in the
championship, Bradford Bulls. They'll win too many home games, Cal Allen, this week.
All right, well, on that note, we're going to leave it there. Guys, it's been an absolute brilliant year. Thank you very much for your support all year long. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thank you for watching listening wherever you are.
Good end, great end.
Have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful Christmas and festive season. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show. We love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.